scriptures.
Yes.
Okay. So, before we read any verses, let's talk about the first four commandments, talking about the Ten Commandments, have to do with a relationship towards God. So, you shall have no other gods before me. That's your religion. No idols before me is your worship. Don't take my name in vain. That's your reverence towards God. And you should honor the Sabbath. That's time. So you take the time. Well, now it's Sunday, right? You take the time to come and be with God's people and worship the Lord. Okay. Oh, I went the wrong way. Now, the last six of the commandments have to do with our relationship towards fellow man. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this just a pinch like this so I can look better instead of that way. Okay. So, honor your parents has to do with authority. All right? Where's some of the other young people? Has to do with authority, right? Receiving the direction and the authority from your parents. Do not murder has to do with life. Do not commit adultery with purity. No stealing with people's property. No false testimony with your tongue. And no coveting has to do with contentment. I actually have different studies for each one, but we're going to focus on honor your parents, your father and your mother today. Okay, now, let's start out by looking at the text. Now, you can follow along. I have it all right there written out for you. If you want to follow in your Bibles, that's fine as well. So, Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother, and here's a promise that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And Ephesians in the New Testament say that it may be well with you. Alright? So of all the commandments, as we see the transition to the relational commandments, right? And this one's the one that has to do with authority. There's a great promise that comes with it that your days are going to be prolonged and also that it may be well with you. All of you young kids, you don't want to have a lot of problems, a lot of issues happen in your life. Well, the Bible says, then honor your father and your mother. And there's a promise. You're going to be blessed if you do that. You're going to be blessed. Okay, let's continue. What do we mean by honor? By honor, we mean reverence, respect, and the word technically means, honor means to be heavy, to be heavy. All right, to put weight on what they say. So if your parents tell you, Johnny, I don't think you should go out tonight to that party because I don't think it's going to be good for you and they're going to probably be drinking. To put weight to what they're saying means, wow, really, Mom and Dad, you think so? Then maybe I shouldn't because it might hurt me. To dishonor them would mean, oh, you're so outdated and so silly, nothing's going to happen. I'll be fine if I go. That's dishonoring your parents because you're not putting weight on their words. Right, so that's the idea behind honor. Listening, respecting, and obeying are all implicit in the concept of honor. All right? So what does the technical word honor means? To put weight, right? To be heavy. So when our parents speak, we should respect them and listen. I tell my son, every time I call my dad and my mom, I still ask for advice. I still talk to them and I listen and I put a lot of weight to what they say. And when you talk to your grandparents or even to your mom and dad, you need to respect and listen. Because God has given us wisdom and we're not saying stuff to you just to say it because we want to hold you back, but because we want to bless you. So you need to learn to honor your parents. Okay, let's continue. Some more verses. Exodus 21, 15. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So we can see here then that God takes the idea of parents very seriously. To the point where if someone in the community of the Israelites were to hit their parent, that was a death sentence, automatic death sentence. Now you think that's an exaggeration? What do you think? No, because God knew that if this wasn't the standard, it would turn into chaos, right? Now the question is, does God still take it this seriously? Leviticus 20 and verse 9. If there is anyone, so not only physically hitting, but notice now with your mouth, if there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood guiltiness is upon him. So we see then that God takes this concept of honoring our parents so seriously that if anybody were to strike their parent because you're mad at them, wham, you hit them, death sentence. But it goes even further than that. It's like if you curse them, oh, you're so stupid, mom, you're whatever, bam, then that's it, death sentence. So we can see then that God took this very seriously in the Bible, this concept of honoring our father and our mother. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. Okay, so notice how it keeps going. So from hitting to cursing to being disrespectful, dishonoring, to shaming them publicly, to insulting them. Right? You're dishonoring your parents. You're cursed, the Bible says. Proverbs 20:20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp or his life, will go out in time of darkness. Now, my wife and I were discussing this last night, trying to figure out exactly what that means. And the way I understand it is that probably your life will be shortened. Anyway, it has a negative connotation. So you can try to figure out the little details of that if you want. But I think it's obvious that it's not good. Okay, Proverbs 15:5. A fool rejects his father's discipline. Now, so basically the Bible is saying now, you're in the category of a fool in God's eyes if your father is trying to discipline you and you reject it. Oh, Dad, you're so dumb. Ever done stuff like that? Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. So now mom's brought into it too. Not only does God not appreciate you rejecting your father's discipline, but he doesn't appreciate it and put you in the category of a fool if you despise your mother's direction or encouragement. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. In other words, he or she will die in disgrace. He and she will die in disgrace. And I don't think God has changed his mind about this topic. About mocking, scorning your father, scorning your mother. Alright, let's look at some New Testament concepts. Honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. This is Jesus speaking. Now I'm going to come back to this one in a moment. And so Jesus didn't seem to think that God changed his mind about his thoughts about honoring our parents. Okay, Colossians 3:20. Children. Alright, children, are you listening? Let me have your eyes up here. All the little ones. What does it say? Children, be obedient to your parents in what? In what? In all things. Does it say just some of the things? Some of the things that you like, but not what you don't like? No. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This pleases the Lord when you're obedient in all things to your parents. Okay, Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. When God created us and created parents and family, He wanted the children to be obedient to the authority, to the parents. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you. And I'm sure nobody here wants to be cursed, but you want the blessing of God to be upon you. that it may be that you may live long on the earth. Okay, now, how serious is God about this? Could I have one brother read Romans chapter 1, 29, 31, and somebody else 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 3. Now, you're going to notice a list of terrible sins, and I want you to pick out, all right, kids, teenagers, I want you to be listening, because I want you to pick out what God says as He's saying all these terrible sins, something about parents. All right, so I want you to pick it out. Who's going to read Romans? Somebody have it? Come on, gentlemen, brave, quickly. Who? All right, you got it? Okay, go ahead.
They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless.
Wow. So what was in between all these terrible sins, haters of God, ruthless, all this thing, and stuck in between there is something that God takes very seriously. What was it?
Murder.
Yeah, he said murder, but about the parents. What did he say about the parents? Anybody listen? It says in between, yes. That's right, disobedient to parents, right? So equivalent to, hey Blake, so you were right, equivalent to murder and ruthless and haters of God is disobedient to parents. It's in the same category. Right? Who's got 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 3? Okay, go ahead.
Understand this, that the last days there will come time of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, prideless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good.
Wow. Okay, so again, you hear this terrible list of all these evil things, and what's stuck in me? Come on, Blake, what is it? Yeah. Way to go, Blake. You got it right this time. So you got this. All these evil things, and stuck in there in between all of them, in God's eyes, is just as bad. When you are disobedient to your parents. Wow. Okay, let's continue. David learned one thing, and one thing he knew is he understood this concept of honor. All right? So let's go quickly to 1 Samuel. Let's go quickly to 1 Samuel. Turn there in your Bibles. Chapter 24 and verse 7. I want you just to notice this real quick. All right? Now, you understand that Saul was trying to kill him, right? And he was chasing him, and he had the opportunity was right there for David and his men to kill King Saul. But I want you to notice David's understanding of this concept of honoring your parents or those in authority above you. Verse 7 and 8. And David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose, left the cave, and went on his way. Now afterwards, David arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David, notice what he did. What did he do? He bowed with his face to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said, "Why do you listen to the words of men, saying, 'Behold, David seeks to harm you?'" Verse 11. "Now my father, see, indeed, see the edge of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut it off of the edge of your robe and did not kill you. Now, know and perceive that there is no evil rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it." All right, notice then the screen. It's not David's job to change Saul, to fix his problem, or to destroy him. He honored his father, because he was his father-in-law, and his position as king. So in other words, that he had every reason to disrespect Saul. Am I right or wrong? Every reason to disrespect him. Every reason to raise his hand against him and kill him. But he didn't do it. And when he turns around to look at him, he respectfully bows down and says, "My father." And so I'm saying this on purpose because some of you may think, yeah, but you don't know my dad, he's an idiot. And yet David could have said to Saul, you're an idiot, I disrespect you. But instead, he bowed to him with respect. And he said, I'm not going to lay my hand against God's hand, anointed, against you and your position. I'm going to let God do it. The religious people dishonored their parents in this way. Go with me to Mark 7. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Everybody turn there. We're gonna understand this text here. Very important. Mark 7. Let's start reading with verse 6. And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. He's talking to the Pharisees, by the way, and the scribes, the religious leaders. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. Excuse me. He was also saying to them, you nightly set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, quote, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by is Corban. That is to say, it is given to God. You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. Wow. What's this talking about? All right, let's understand this. The Pharisees and the scribes, they loved money. They were greedy people. And so people would give money to the temple and they would take from that. They were very rich, you know. And so here comes a man and he says, Corban, this money I give to God. And the Pharisees would say, oh, you said Corban, that's it. You can't take it back. All right, so 10 years down the line, mom and dad get old. They need help. They need money. And they tell the Pharisee, I'm sorry, Pharisee, I know I committed this money to God. It was Corban, but I have to retrieve that because mom and dad, they need help. They say, oh, you can't do that. You committed it to God and that's it. And so what does Jesus say? You dishonor your father and your mother. Our responsibility is to take care of our parents. And they were neglecting their parents because they wanted the money so bad. They said, oh, you Corban, that's it, given to God. It's irrevocable, you can't take it back. And the Lord Jesus did not appreciate it. So, Corban means a gift given to God, and it was devoted by God by an inviolable means, you can't take it back, vow. So the Lord didn't appreciate this. What is our duty as Christians? What is our duty as Christians? All right, well, let's read the text first and then we'll comment. That's right there. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety or piety, I can never pronounce that correct, in regard to their own family, and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now, I think I told you before, this is my dad's favorite verse. He tells me, hey son, when am I going to start getting some returns, you know? I'm like, all right, dad, all right, I hear you, all right. So what does this mean? Notice then, it says that a widow, if you have children or grandchildren, but it's not just a widow, a woman, but notice it says in regard to their own family. So can include both parents. All right, what is our responsibility and how does God look? Because we're talking to adults now, right? Not to the children anymore, right? But children can listen because sooner or later you're gonna get old. It's gonna happen. What do we do in this whole concept of parents and taking care of them? All right, now I'm not gonna get into this debate. Should you put them in a nursing home or not and all that? Some people get really offended about it. Some people say, no way. Other people say, yes. And so why don't we say, put it this way. Leave it up to your own personal convictions as to what you should do. Now, in my case right now, I'm in the circumstance where both my parents and my in-laws, both of them are in need. Especially my in-laws. So we noticed that they were going downhill fast. In fact, you know, that's why I moved to Cleveland. And they needed help, and they had no one to help because they have a special needs daughter. And then the other, she has one other sister, and she has bad knee and some other physical problems. And so we're like, you know what, we need to go and help them. So we felt it was our duty to take care of my wife's parents. And so we moved to Cleveland to be near, to be able to help. So then as they were declining, we said, okay, now we have to sell their home. And it was a pain. Their house was 20 years with no repairs. 20 years. Oh my word. I had to fix this and fix that and paint this. And so my brother and I, Law and I, were going every afternoon after our work and painting, fixing, moving. And it's like, oh my word, this is a nightmare. And so then I started getting my son-in-law involved and nephews and nieces. Everybody's got to help. And so we had to pitch in. And it cost time and money and work. And we got to the house where it was within the realm of decency so we can at least sell it. And so we had to do all the work ourselves. The in-laws couldn't do anything. They're sitting there weak just in a couch. But it's our responsibility. So we had to go to find a realtor, to go through the whole process, to have a garage sale, get rid of junk, and do all the move. And it took days and days and days. And after they moved out, the person buying it wanted something else fixed. And so we had to go fix it and bring an electrician and do this and do that. And we had to pay for it. It was our responsibility. And we had to find them a place to move to. So my sister-in-law, that's your job. I'm going to be in charge of moving them out. And so we had to bring trucks and load up and do all the work. And that's our responsibility to do all that. So we found them an old folks home. It was, it's a senior home apartment where it's all one floor, right? And so we move them in there. Soon after that, my mother-in-law lost her ability to walk. And so we had to get a nurse coming in. And you had to go through days and days of paperwork and processing and this and that and evaluations. You had to go through all that. And it cost us money. And then two or three times a week, we had to go. We had to buy them groceries, take them to go buy medicines, take them to doctor's appointments. And it takes hours of your day. Hours. Right? Well, praise God. That's our privilege and our honor to serve them. And I think that's what this verse is saying. Notice what it says. If anyone has a widow, I'm sorry. If any widow has children or grandchildren, well, my in-laws have children and grandchildren. So we had them in there too. Come on, grandchildren. Right? There it is. Let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family. And make some, what is the word right there? Return to their parents. That means it's going to cost you. Everybody say the word return. Return. It means, yeah, you have to pull out your pocketbook and sometimes you have to pay. That's what that means. But guess what? When you were little and you needed to change diapers, guess who went and bought diapers? And when you needed food, guess who went and bought food? And when you need to go to the doctor, guess who took you to the doctor? So in other words, everything reverses and goes back. Now it's your turn to do the same thing they did for you. Right? And I don't think we should do it with a terrible attitude, begrudgingly, right? Sour. But we should do it with joy. I can't see you as parents saying, oh, this kid, I had to go buy him food again. I can't believe it. What a pain. I had to take him to get clothes. He outgrew his clothes again. Right, it's costing us so much money. Oh my goodness, we have less money in savings now. What an inconvenience. See, all that kind of stuff you hear these days. And it's a shame. As believers in the Lord, we need to understand that it's our responsibility. Now, in my culture, in Mexico, this is a given. You don't have to teach much on this because people automatically have their parents and they keep them until they die. And they take care of them, nurse them, do whatever they have to do, right? It's in the culture. But in the culture here, it's a little different. Right? Parents sometimes become an inconvenience and throw them as quick as you can into a nursing home and let them worry about it. My son worked at a nursing home for several years. And he goes, Dad, some of these parents, these folks, nobody comes to visit them. And the kids have money, so they put them in a luxury place and they try to appease their conscience by them. And there they are, all alone. And guess what? They want to talk. And so I sit there and I talk to them for hours. They have no one to talk to. Nobody visits. They're all alone. And it's a shame, really, that parents have become an inconvenience. Right? Notice what it says, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Right? So, just as you were enthusiastic at the beginning when we were reading about children obey your parents, right? And be submissive to them, you're going to be blessed if you do it. This is acceptable to God. In the same way, you should say, this is acceptable to God that I honor my father and mother in their time of weakness, in their time of need. Then we go and we take care of them and we visit them and we nurse them. I think this is from God. Okay, now, look how serious God takes this. Remember, we said that God takes honor your father and your mother so seriously that he said if anyone strikes them, the death sentence. If anybody curses them, the death sentence. If anybody insults them, the death sentence. I take this serious. If you don't honor your father and your mother, it's not going to go well with you. There's a curse upon you, and I believe that's still true. Now, notice the text. Oh, I don't need these because I have the screen. But if anyone does not provide for his own mother and father, right? Mother-in-law, father-in-law. If you get married, that's it. You take them on. They're yours, right? You don't just marry the pretty little young lady. Mama and Papa come with it, right? That's how it goes. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, notice what does it say? He has denied the faith. Wow, what has he done? Denied the faith. This can't be true, if I want to translate and put it in my own paraphrase, this can't be true of a believer. How can it be true of a believer that they're not providing for their own parents? It's not possible. And this person is what? Worse than an unbeliever. Even unbelievers, it's pretty natural for them to realize, these are my parents and I need to care for them. Now, I know that there's hundreds of cases out there where, like I said to you, my son having worked in a nursing home for several years, and I would go, my wife and I were all excited that he had, you know, his first job. We'd go see him at work, right? And he's serving the folks and all that. And so we would see, and we actually have a ministry where we go to nursing homes. When I was there, I asked a lady who's part of our Bible study, I said, what do you regret the most about your life? And here's what the lady told me, that I have to be in this place. That I have to be in this place. All alone, abandoned by her kids, and she started to cry. You can just see the pain of that, of her loneliness. Ooh, I was moved by that. I was really moved. So, I think it's our responsibility, and I think we realize it. And I think that's why this chapter is committed to that. Now, I believe also, we don't have 5 minutes, okay. I believe also as an assembly, we have the responsibility to take care of an older widow, or even man, widower, is that the correct term, right? If there's no family, I think the church should financially provide for that person. I think the Bible teaches that. Now, let's look at the text. Go to 1 Timothy 5 and I'll close out with this, okay? 1 Timothy 5. Notice then, verse 5, 1 Timothy 5:5. Now, she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to one, you should take care of her, in other words. But he who gives himself to wanton pleasures is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that it may be, so that you may be above reproach as a church. And then you have verse 8, which we have right here on the screen. Verse 9. Let a widow be put on the list of the local body only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, and having a reputation for good works. By the way, we believe, theologians believe that means one man at a time. It doesn't mean that the widow can't remarry, otherwise she's exempt. I think that her husband died, she married again, and if the second one dies, she's indeed the wife of one man, one husband. All right? Having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, and if she has shown hospitality to strangers, so some of you haven't shown me hospitality, you better get going before you're too old, right? If she has washed the saints' feet, I think I'll handle that myself. You don't have to worry about that part. But, all right. If she has assisted those in distress, if she has devoted herself to every good work, but refused to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. Well, verse 16. If any woman is a believer, has dependent widows, let her assist them, and let not the church be burdened, so that they may assist those who are widows indeed. So I think the instruction here is that the local body should take care of a woman specifically, but a man also, if the need is there, that's a widow and has no relatives, the church should financially provide for them. And I think go visit them at the nursing home, wherever you put them. Right? As a regular practice, the members of the body should go visit the widow and take care of her needs. I think that's what the Bible is teaching. And so, but if she has relatives, then the church doesn't really have that obligation. The relatives do. Right? And so, a lot of instruction today, but I think it's good that we talk about it. Right? In this day of age, where so many things have changed, we still need to remember the basic commandments. And one of them being, honor your father and your mother. Right? And I try to instill that in my children. Honor your parents. And I told my daughter just a couple of days ago, I went to visit my grandkids. And after I was talking to her, I said, have you called grandma and grandpa? Well, they haven't called me. And I didn't ask you that. Have you called them? No, you better call. You're being disrespectful. Call your grandma and your grandpa. They want to hear from you. Don't say that they haven't called you. You call them. All right, you honor them. And so I think that if anyone here has grandparents, call your grandparents. Listen to them. Say, it's good to hear your grandma and grandpa. Honor them. If you have parents, call them. Speak to them. Honor them. What do you need, mom and dad? Take care of them. Right? It's our responsibility. And so, every day, I tell my wife, have you called mom and dad, her parents? Not yet. All right, let's go call them and let's see how they're doing today. Do we need to go over there and take care of them? And then she tells me, all right, now let's call your dad. All right, we call mom and dad. We call them. What's going on? And I make sure my siblings live around them. And I make sure they're being taken care of. And I think that's what the Lord would want from believers. Right? Amen? Amen? And so, may the Lord help us to keep this commandment. Honor your father and your mother so it may be well with you. Amen? Father, thank you for parents. Thank you for parents. And help us to keep this commandment, Lord, to honor them. For you take this very seriously. And we want to do it, Lord, with joy. We want to provide for them and take care of them. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.